When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, heroes, and welcome to another exciting episode of One Shot. I'm Tracy Barnett, your host and narrator. Heroes, we are here for the third episode of our series of Punk's Been Dead Since 79, a game by Jeff Lewis. Heroes, let me tell you, if you have not yet gone and picked up this game from Jeff's Itch page, you really owe it to yourself to do so. If you're enjoying what you're hearing, you need to buy this game. It's like $2, I think. So head on over to jefflewis.itch.io, grab yourself a copy. Also, if you like the way that Blair and Eleni and Ganon sound, you need to go over and check out Neoscum. Neoscum.com/starter. If you've never listened to the podcast before, that'll get you in. Now, with all of that out of the way, let's get to the show. So, you found a parking spot, and at the end, making your way to the VFW, or I should ask, are you heading toward the VFW to sort of scope things out, or are you heading toward the back of the line? And I will offer this tidbit. If you head toward just the VFW, you will go directly past Mudflap's car. If you head to the back of the line, you will not.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say is, as we're like walking, Specs is kind of like, I mean, we could go look at Mudflap's car.
Yeah, yes.
We're just kind of walking towards the VFW, you know, and we're like, just seeing what's going on. We just happen to pass by Mudflap's car. Maybe he's in it, maybe he's not, but you know, just seeing what's
like,
going on.
If nobody's around.
If he's anywhere near that car, we're not going close.
Right.
And that's fine.
Right.
I don't want him to kill you.
Right.
Kill me.
Or set you on fire.
He's not going to kill me and Trish. He's not going to kill us. He's going to kill you because you are of age.
I don't know. I don't know if he discriminates like that. I've heard some crazy Mudflap stories.
He scares me to my bones in a way that I don't think he would discriminate, but I know for sure he would kill you before he would kill us. So
yeah, I'd be dead last.
I think you guys are assuming I put on some sort of White Knight bravery show before all of that, and I don't think that's going to happen. I think I'm going to run.
Your substitute teacher,
and I'm
going to
outrun both of you.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but you're a substitute teacher. It's in your creed.
For fucking 5-year-olds, okay? I don't care. I don't give a shit about 16-year-olds who
five.
Can run.
I can run.
Just kidding. I'm 16. I can run.
Oh, you're 5.
I was joking.
Well, let's open up this trunk if we can. Because,
okay,
like,
so
you guys, this is the mystery of our lifetime, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We have to get it open. We have to finally know. I mean, I never thought an opportunity like this would even present itself, but like this night is going to be epic.
I gotta say one thing. If I can give you any thing from having more experience and being an older guy, it's that
you're old. Yeah,
that feeling that like tonight's the night is just it just keeps coming. Like you're just going to constantly have a night that's the night. You know,
that's awesome.
That's
but tonight
great.
Is the
great.
First one.
It's going to be diminishing returns. Is all I'm trying. All I'm saying. You're going to figure some stuff out.
Look, if I can, I know you're convinced and you're going to let us do it, but if I can just specs, if I, like, what if one day we're on a show that's like a radio show, maybe like a podcast, like one of two people are doing right now, and they say, what's the most punk thing you've ever done? What, are you going to say, oh, I started a DIY theater in Chicago?
Or are you going to say, I broke into the trunk with the mud flaps.
Yes!
I found his twin!
Like Dead Ringers.
I want to be on that talk show. I want to make it to that talk show. I want to be alive for that talk show. I don't want one of you guys to be on the talk show and tell a story about how, one time you got a ride from a dude and then it ends up that he fucking pissed off Mudflap and got a fucking knife through his eye.
Okay, so we're approaching with caution.
I feel like at some point in time,
the walking stopped for that last bit of the conversation, like when tonight's the night feeling, like when Trish went, oh my god, that's amazing, like the whole conversation sort of stopped a little bit, and you're probably about 50 yards away from where Mudflap parked. That is from where you are approaching with caution.
Okay, so I'm looking at this vehicle. Can you give me a vibe? What's the vehicle looking like?
The vehicle is a 77 Cadillac Chevelle that is painted all black, except for a puke green racing stripe, quote unquote, down the side. It has been done with spray paint, very obviously. And if anyone has gotten close enough to it, you can tell that it's actually been done multiple times, and the shade of spray paint has changed a little bit every time. So it's just this kind of mishmash of like two green stripes that do not stay equidistant from each other down the body of this car that is pitted with rust. The steel body has dents in it from like rocks getting kicked up on gravel roads and shit. It's an angry sounding car, though, like big engine, you know, sounds like the devil coming down the road sort of deal. And there is obviously a sound system aftermarket put into it, because that's what you heard coming toward you that tipped you off that it was Mudflap. He always seems to be playing Primus. Like, no matter what.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. The creepiest kind of guys are like the Frank Zappa kind of guys, where they're like, oh, I'm not into the heavy stuff. I kind of like it eclectic. Like, what are you getting to jazz? Don't be a weirdo. Come on.
Have you guys seen the movie Jeepers Creepers? Speck says to the, Trish and Naomi.
Yeah, I did. It was creepy.
Yeah. Well, this car just kind of makes me think. Kind of reminds me of that movie, like, you know, you look in your rearview mirror and there's this,
oh my god, and you'll see like that scarecrow guy.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
He's a scarecrow? That's the Jeepers Creepers guy?
It's like kind
of
like
a
scarecrow.
I heard from my friends in middle school when it came out that it was the scariest movie of all time, and I never saw
it. It was really scary, and it was kind of like a scarecrowish guy, but he wasn't like a scarecrow. But
they made a sequel too, and I hope they make two more, but way later, like 15 years after they make Jeepers Creepers 2.
I don't think I would watch those, but maybe I would once I learned about them.
I don't think I'd watch them either.
This guy's listening to Primus all the time. That just cracks my ass up, basically. Because, yeah, that is like maybe the most threatening thing. Like, oh, he's listening to heavy music. He's actually probably pretty sensitive, but he's listening to Primus.
He's probably really fucked
really
up.
Really loud all the time. You can listen to Primus sometimes, but like all the time, there's something that's sort of turned in there.
What if like he is really sensitive and like what's in his trunk is actually just like teddy bears?
Or like a bunch of poetry that he's written, and he goes to write poetry before every
show.
Oh
my god, and then we steal it and we publish it for him, and he becomes famous. Mm-hmm.
He becomes famous.
And then he gives us the money because
he loves us.
He loves us.
He gives us the money. He loves us. He's already got this Chevelle that's great, and obviously he can pay for a sound system so he can listen to Primus all the time. South Park.
I don't think anybody's in there if we want to move to the next phase of this plan.
Yeah, okay. Let's do it.
Let's go to the truck.
You walk up and uncharacteristically, he's not back there rummaging through, because it has not been long enough usually to have cleared that window. But he's not around. Is anyone, do you want to check and see if anyone else is nearby? Or
yeah, is anyone else nearby?
So what I'm gonna say is it doesn't really look like it. But for you as the player, that may just be because you're distracted by this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity that maybe you're not looking as closely as you otherwise could.
Hmm. Okay, well, that being said, let's open up this trunk.
Let's open it up. Specs, you're old. Do they teach you how
to... Stop
calling
him old. He's not even old.
I'm old compared
you're
to
middle-aged.
This milieu.
Can you... do you know how to lockpick a trunk?
No. I'm the straight-laced guy with the car. I can buy booze. I can do all kinds of stuff, but I ain't the lockpick guy. I've never been that guy. I'm always
I'm the lockpick guy.
See, every group's got one. You just have to ask around, you know? But don't make assumptions, because sometimes people aren't the lockpick guy and they don't like being chosen out the lockpick guy.
I think I've been a little bit rude to you sometimes, Spex, because I like to push you to see where you can go. And you are a good guy, even if you don't know how to lockpick. So just know that I'm still chill with you, even though I'm a little rude sometimes because I like to see where I can push things and make things go.
I'll be honest. Even when you're being nice to me, it feels emotionally manipulative. And I don't know if that's intended or not.
Thank you.
She's really good at that. She's really good at that.
Thank you.
It's like almost as bad as my mom.
Okay. That's an insult. That's an insult. Hold on. Your mom, the DMV, cool lady.
But I'm not going to say anything.
Okay. Hold on. Let me unlock this card.
Four times.
I'm unlocking.
There is not a specific move for this, so we are going to use Fuck, which is the catch-all stat for luck, sex appeal, and scholastic skill. This feels like a luck-based situation, because I don't know that Trish has ever tried to pick a trunk on a 77 Chevelle. So go ahead and
certainly
how
not.
Many dice do you have there for fuck?
I have
this is
four.
Your, this
four.
Is your, you're a fuck pure, aren't you?
All right. Go ahead and roll 4d6 and take the best two and add them together.
That's this the fuck spec.
Let's go.
4d6 and take the best two. 12.
Yeah. All right. So 10 plus is generally speaking, this goes off without a hitch. 12 is, like in some Powered by the Apocalypse games, 12 or more is like, you get it and then some. So you are able to open this trunk. Eleni, the player, I need you to do two things for me. I need you to tell me what is the reason you were able to get it open. Like, what about the trunk itself actually allowed Trish to do this? And the other thing is when the trunk opens, this is going to be like a Repo Man Pulp Fiction style illumination from the trunk situation, where you all, the characters, will have seen what's inside, but we, the audience, will not know. So I want you to describe what that light looks and feels like.
Ooh. Okay. Well, I'll start with the easier thing, which is how I got this trunk open. And the reason that Trish was able to get this trunk open is, first of all, she does have some bobby pins that are like dangling from her wrist as a little bracelet. Like, she attached them to a bracelet and they were sort of like dangly tassel things, but she was able to take those and sort of bend them. But also, the trunk wasn't really solidly closed. It was kind of closed in the way that, like, the hood of a car is closed, where if you reach underneath, there's, like, a little latch you can kind of press on. And for some reason, like, the trunk is messed up and it has been, like, reattached in that kind of way. So she really just kind of had to reach under there. And she was able to just, like, kind of pop the little switch and it popped right open. It was actually very easy.
Awesome. So the trunk pops open and all of you are, your faces are all illuminated by a light that implies mystery and wonder and whatever other feelings Trish is about to give us. So what does the light look like? What does it feel like? And then I want you to describe a cutaway as you are all walking away from the car in the aftermath of that moment.
Life feels good. Life feels nice. It's bright. It's white. It's yellow. It's bright. It's in our eyes. We go,
but it makes us feel sad for Mudflap and makes us feel really like, did not realize that was going on in Mudflap's life.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's like an existential sorrow.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was going to say, Spec's first line of after the cutaway. I have it. If we want to,
yeah. So
go
you're cutting away now. Cool. The Chevelle, and
Spec's is just like, I had no idea.
How could you? He does not look like the kind of guy.
I feel bad. You know, I feel like I had painted him like this devil in my mind, and now, I don't know. I can't.
Yeah,
I feel like even taking this new piece of information in, it would be another assumption on my part to assume that I know what kind of person that Mudflap is. But I really I did really think for a while that he had an evil twin in his trunk named Dumbflap. Yeah. Because I thought that was for sure the case.
Flap.
Like, maybe he still does, and that twin lives in his house, but not in the
trunk. But what is in his trunk is a bunch of neon signs that spell the words Christ is love. So he's
kind of like the
I can't say this in character,
but he's pretty much like Insane Clown Posse.
Yeah, he's like creepy on the outside, but you want to get to know him, and then at the bottom of it all, it turns out it's just a weird Christ thing, Judeo-Christian values. All right. But with the kind of sheen to make it seem like it's something else, but it really is just he goes and he works on the neon sign before the shows. Okay.
Yeah, because his grandma is dying and his grandma is dying.
That's right. I did hear about that.
And
he had that little mural to the. Or we're just straight up describing everything
to the nursing home. Yeah, exactly.
He's got a picture of his grandmother in the trunk next to the neon sign that said Christ is love.
And it's a shrine to his grandma.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and she broke her neck trying to jump over the Grand Canyon on a motorcycle.
And he had a note written next to the picture of her that just said, "All my rage is for you."
But no one in the audience ever heard this or saw this. Only we did.
Ooh.
And anyway.
Outtakes.
I do like that. Yeah, we're going to cut away, and then the cutaway is just three people being like, wow, I'm describing literally everything.
Exactly what it was.
We're like, okay, so I don't know. You guys want to get to the back of the line? Because my feeling is like maybe we can fucking kind of be kind of assholes or something to the front of the line.
How do we get to the front?
Just walk up to the front. Listen, when I was your guys' age, I was at the bottom of the ladder, you know. But now, I'm old. I kind of want to, you know, be the guy who's showing up and just like breaking rules because he knows that the rules don't make any sense and none of this is real anyway. So fuck it, let's go to the front of the line.
Yeah, honestly, this all kind of feels like a game. So it's just like, why not break a few rules and see what happens, you know?
Yeah.
And speaking of,
I'm gonna have a cigarette, and she puts a cigarette in her mouth and does not light it.
I would love to have a cigarette, but I'm also edge. So
okay, here's your cigarette.
Thank you.
I only have two, so just, you know, hold on to that one.
And I have a Sharpie X on my wrist, by the way.
Yeah, and I put mine on my back of my hands.
Oh, do you guys need a Sharpie? I have a Sharpie if you guys want to borrow mine.
Oh, yeah, just put an X on my cheek with that Sharpie, please. Yeah. I need everyone to know I'm straight edge, but I also...
Specs is like, okay, cool. And then he starts drawing X's on his wrist as well.
You straight edge?
Fuck yeah, I'm straight edge. You think I'm wearing fucking X's to my substitute ass job?
No, I guess not. Damn.
I'm straight edge.
Well, so we're all straight edge.
I'm straight edge and I want to be, okay? I'm straight edge and I'm not legally prohibited or legally forced to be so, you know?
Yeah. And I'm straight edge, but I still like to pretend that I am not, because then people will feel intimidated by me. But then I'll be like, no, just kidding. And there's power.
I'm straight
in that.
Edge, but I do drink.
Oh, well, that's not straight edge.
Oh, no, that's not straight edge?
Whoa.
No.
I'm pretty inclusive when it comes to the punk scene. I think anything can be straight edge. You can be straight edge.
What are you talking about?
You could be straight edge by not drinking water.
Straight edge is just don't do anything.
No, you can straight
including
edge.
Including what I'm doing,
I drink
probably.
And I smoke cigarettes.
You can straight edge anything. You can straight edge Mad Dog 2020 and still get fucked up on Bud Light. That's
well,
totally
you
cool.
know all about a straight edge because you love math and geometry.
I do. I teach geometry to five-year-olds. That's my substitute teacher gig.
Yeah. So I guess I'm not really straight edge, but I like having an X on my wrist.
I think what I'm trying to say is that the straight edge can be anything. Everybody's a straight edge. That's the true straight edge.
That's just not true.
Listen, you're really smart, Specs.
Listen, you're trying to put punk in a box right now, Trish.
I'm just saying straight edge specifically means that you don't do drugs or alcohol.
Look, I can straight edge drugs. I can straight edge alcohol. I can straight edge unbleached flour, you know?
I mean, I gotta light this cigarette this time. Give me a lighter, somebody.
I don't have a lighter.
I'm yelling at the line.
A crusty old
hand. Who's got a lighter?
Reaches over and a fingertip that's on fire reaches out and lights the cigarette. as Mudflap
whips
his hand back and forth.
Wow. Hey, Mudflap. Thank you.
Specs just like doesn't say anything, but he does the sign of the cross.
Trish still did not light her cigarette. She just held it out, but not close enough to actually get lit.
Mudflap sort of looks at you, Specs, and just sort of nods.
Everybody's nodding.
Hey, Mudflap, can we cut?
It's not my call, friend. I'm not working the door tonight.
Do you know how we can just get in front of you?
It's Daryl.
But you do? Daryl?
Mudflap is the only person who just calls Daryl, Daryl. Everyone else calls Daryl fucking Daryl. Big Matthew McConaughey and Dazed and Confused vibes. Right?
Oh, yep. Fucking Daryl.
Oh,
I don't know Daryl. I don't know Daryl. Who's Daryl? Mudflap?
He's kind of like...
He's a bad vibe, basically. He's
like
trying
a bad
to get
vibe.
Laid 24/7, and he's...
he's like always
gross.
Trying to do it.
Oh, you're
always.
Talking about fucking D?
Tracking
yes,
D.
Fucking D.
D.
Oh, that's what we used to call him.
The D man.
Yeah, D's on the door.
Fucking D.
Yeah.
Well, ew. Ugh, so can
yuck.
You talk
right,
to him and
to
let
a, him?
Make him let us in?
So either way, whether you want Mudflap to talk to Daryl or you want to talk to Daryl, you need to shoot the shit. Whoever is actually making the ask. This is manipulating an NPC.
Let me try. I haven't done a dice roll yet.
Gotta be Naomi,
so
the manipulator.
You're gonna
herself.
Roll with feel.
Naomi Terror.
Roll with feeling.
Alright, my feel. Oh, damn, my feel's good. Feeling good as hell. So it's 4d6.
That's 2 and together.
Okay, what do we got? 9 and a 4.
Nice.
13.
So, on a 10 plus.
Wait,
sorry,
nine?
Wait, you can't get a 9 on a d6. Sorry,
yeah.
That was okay. A6 and a 4, that's a 10.
Like this is like a Lenny roll only rolling
sorry, I am...
d10s in Call of Cthulhu.
Only rolling a d...
I'm stupid. All right.
So on
6
and plus, they will do what you want if you give them a bribe, a threat, or a motive to want to do what you want them to do. So, what are you going to... Like, Mudflap looks considering, like, it's like, I guess I can go talk to him, kind of hesitating, like waiting for you to make the offer or bring the stick, as it were.
Specs just
yeah.
Specs spits out. God bless you.
Yeah. Because we're all writing papers for Saint Aloysius Lutheran.
Yeah.
And we're writing papers about the Christcore crunk band whose name is Shit Sandwich.
Yeah.
We're writing about them, so we need to go in to be able to get in. Otherwise, we can't get in. Then we can't spread the word of the Lord, and the kids can't get into Shit Sandwich, which...
Yeah.
Sort of in a subtle way.
Yeah, I'm a grad student. This is kind of an extended recitation kind of thing.
You're writing papers about the gospel of Shit Sandwich.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
I think the way I'm picturing it is that Specs is in the middle and the girls are on either side of him. And Mudflap just reaches out and puts a hand on each of the girls' shoulders, like left and right, and like makes just inescapable eye contact with each of you in turn, right?
I have never wanted to do anything for anyone more in my life than this, with the exception of saying the rosary over my dying grandmother's bed every morning.
Oh, no.
Brutal.
I'm going to get
really
you into this show and you will write this paper.
Mm-hmm. We will. We will write this paper.
Or my
really
name is
good.
Francis McKenna the third.
Francis McKenna the third.
Just turns.
That's a great name.
And he walks up, absolutely cuts off like some real crust punky looking late teens that are like next up to get in the door. And like there's this heated exchange back and forth between him and fucking Daryl. And he like stops and like he has to like shut Daryl down a few different times. Gesticulation back at the line, and at one point in time, Mudflap, like, reaches into one of the many pockets that are in this black leather vest that he has on. He pulls out a lighter from someplace, God knows where, and, like, gestures like he's going to light his entire hand on fire and, like, start cocking his fist back. And Daryl, like, kind of stops him. And there's nodding. And then Mudflap, I guess Francis, waves the three of you over. Hello, heroes, and welcome to the midroll. I don't have a whole lot to talk about this time in the midroll, except for one very important thing. That song that you heard playing us into this midroll, and that you're going to hear playing us out of the midroll, is a cover of Man, I Feel Like a Woman by Todd Berridge. Todd was kind enough to allow us to use this song in this series for One Shot. I came across the video to this song on Twitter, absolutely fell in love with it. It just kind of spoke to me. And, you know, I took a shot and reached out to Todd to see if he'd be interested. He was, and so we get to feature this song in this series for One Shot. It's extremely cool, and you really owe it to yourself to go check out the rest of the work that Todd does, especially if you like pop punk. He does an amazing job with all the covers and mashups that he does. It's really well worth it. I made a short link, so you can just go to bit.ly/poppunktodd, T-O-D-D, and you're going to find his YouTube page with everything there. Now, with all that out of the way, let's get back to the show.
Oh my God, we did. What?
That was some fucking shit. Did you guys see that? That was nuts.
That was crazy. Holy mom.
Was he going to light his fucking hand on fire and then deck that guy?
Yes.
Is he what's that stuff you put on your hand to light it on fire? What's that? Air freshener? Is that what he's spraying on his hand?
I don't remember that.
You can put something on your hand and then it catch it on fire without hurting it. You think he's a mutant?
I think he's like a fucking the Human Torch. He's straight up like the creepy, punky Human Torch man who's also a Bible guy.
And really into Primus.
Ugh. As you head over, Mudflap reaches into another pocket and pulls out three like crumpled, greasy looking bills and shoves them into fucking Daryl's hand. And Daryl like looks at Mudflap and looks at the three of you, and his usual like veneer of cool, smarmy calm is like gone from this world. And he says, Mudflap paid your cover too. Just go in.
Mudflap.
Thanks,
and
Francis.
thank you, Daryl.
And fucking Daryl, by the way, 16 years, prepare to get cut off from basically everything for your actions. Just a guess.
Yeah.
It could be earlier, man. You don't wait 16 years to find out. Like, you know
look,
it's right.
Time to repent.
You know it's right.
Getting
fucking
backed
D.
up. There's a someone brought a really big boom box, about 20 people back, and they're starting to just blare a Black Flag song, and there's like a mosh pit starting in the line, and D is like, Hey.
All right.
Damn. And Trish right, turns around. In. Trish turns around to the crowd and she screams, Slayer, and then walks back inside.
At least a dozen people shout Slayer back at you, and you hear someone get decked. It's like, oh shit, their teeth came out. And you are in.
Hot dog.
Now, being in to a show like this is there's a moment of triumph, right? Like you're into the concert venue, like you're in the space where the moment is going to happen. You're also in a VFW in fucking Engagement, Ohio. So like the excitement, the energy of it is all this very like manufactured thing that everyone is sort of carrying with them almost like a security blanket, because under all of it, most everyone knows that this is just exactly what the fuck it is. On the walls, there are like placards with pictures of old men and a few women who like served in foreign wars, and there's like POW flag off to the side, and it's just a VFW. But there's a stage, and it's mostly lit, and you can hear a band is starting to, I guess, get in tune. I don't think, Specs, you would call this anything like actually tuning up a band. You're pretty sure that the bassist has their bass strung with an E string on every single string, and they've just
Classic.
Got them tuned to vaguely different notes. So when they press their fingers down, it does something different on each string.
I think, Specs, despite coming from like an experienced background in the world of music, when he interacts with or when he sees that kind of stuff, he just always gives people the benefit of the doubt. And so he's essentially like watching this dude with this like insanely weird strung up guitar. This shitty band is like going through their tuning warm-ups, and they're all like so out of it and not on the same page. And Specs is looking at it just being like, wow, this is such an interesting way of doing music. Like, huh. And he just assumes every choice is like intentional. So he's like, huh, these guys could be pretty cool. I don't know what they're doing, but man, that bass is set up like it's in an insane asylum or something. This is pretty cool.
And you can see spray painted on the drum head a monograph that gives the band's name. There are no letters used, but it is very obvious that this band is Tits and Beer.
Mm.
Wow, Tits and Beer. Okay, that's really interesting.
Yeah, see, they have a boobies logo, and the boobies got beer coming out of the nipples and going into that pint glass.
Okay, so I'm guessing the Tits and Beer name and those images have to be semi-ironic for the bass to be tuned in such an aggressively experimental way. I think this band is going to suck. That's my guess. I thought they were going to be like a sort of like AC/DC thing, which can be fun, but I think these guys are just going to be bad.
I'm like so excited to mosh during this. I don't care if it's bad.
Oh my God,
I just want to thrash and mosh.
Can I tell you guys?
Is there any beer around here? Oh, sorry.
I was going to tell you guys a little bit of a secret, and you guys got to promise you're not going to fucking tell anybody here, okay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm kind of looking for a new gig.
Well, let's.
Whoa.
So I want to play. I want to play in a band again. Mm-hmm. But I don't have anybody to play with, right?
What about if tonight we played and I'll play my recorder and you play anything?
Then Naomi can sing.
Naomi can sing.
No, I
we
don't,
can play
totally
a fucking hot cross buns.
No, I don't. Yes! I don't want to be in a band with you two. Absolutely
we can
not.
Win.
No.
Okay, what's wrong with us? Have you heard jam? Have you heard me jam?
We're cute. We're cool.
I'm not saying
you are like.
I'm not saying you're not cute. I'm not saying anything. I brought you guys here to watch some music, and I'm saying while we watch these bands, I would like you guys to help me identify some weak drummers so I can go fucking, you know, over the top, hit the band leader with you know, my demo disc or an 8-track or something, and then you know, and then I have a real shot at being back in the music scene.
Okay, but we can only win $1,000 if we play tonight.
You know what they say, two birds in the bush is worth more than one bird in the hand. So yeah, I guess we'll go ahead with your plan.
Well,
two birds in the bush.
I don't even have instruments. Like, where are we going to get
a recorder? Vocals.
Toot toot.
Borrow some drums.
You got to be honest though. Like, that's the most stereotypical punk band ever is two girls and a way older guy, and the girls don't have any instruments, and one of them does vocals, and one of them plays a recorder. I'm just saying, this is
really well.
Okay.
It's undeniable. What, do you want to be good or do you want to be undeniable?
Yeah.
How is it stereotypical?
It's cool.
I just want to be in a band.
Okay, well, be in a band for one night and then go find your better band.
Yeah, you're in high school. Like, I just don't think you guys are going to commit to music long term. Like, I'm literally done with college.
Trish.
I'm committing for tonight only.
He's afraid. He's intimidated.
I'm just saying,
okay, Trish.
He doesn't know what's up. He wants to live a dream that one of these guys will let him into his band, which they won't, but
get to be 21 and you're hanging out with two 16-year-olds and
I'll never be 21.
And they want you to be in a band with you, you're going to say no. I can guarantee.
I'm going
to
be like, that is cool as fuck. The youth knows what's mm-hmm. going on and what's cool.
I'm too old to know what's cool yet. I'm going to say I'm lifting your voices. What? When I'm 21, that'll be in 5 years. So what? That'll be 2009. So
I might as well be like, dead by then.
And I will be. But if I was alive, I'd say, yeah, I'm lifting your like, voices, my two queens who
yeah,
I adore. I'm the first person
queens.
To say that. Just
yeah,
kidding.
My two cuties
my
who
cuties.
Are awesome and cool.
Besties.
Who
I'm supporting.
Okay, fine.
I'm
just,
a good...
Okay, fine. Let's just sign up. Let's just sign up and see
okay.
what happens.
Okay.
Yes!
So small snippet.
Okay!
60 bands auditioned for the Northwest Battle of the Bands. And the...
I haven't heard the snag yet, Tracy. Where is the snag?
The 10 who are on the fucking poster that you walked past are the ones who are playing tonight, and you're not on there. So, how are you going
well,
to get...
We got Sharpies.
...space on the lineup?
We're going to kill one of these bands.
We're going to take some lives tonight.
Okay, wait. So... There are multiple bands set up outside, right?
There is a band set up outside. Fuck Truck 4000 is set up outside. In fact, you think you can hear the opening strains of their first song, Fuck a Truck, Truck a Fuck, careening through the open door.
I love that song.
Fuck a Truck, Truck a Fuck.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know if we can be in a band, if it means that we have to kill another band to be one.
Yeah,
I'm
we
getting
can't.
So pissed thinking about the limitations. I'm really mad.
I mean, we could have at least talked to somebody in the box office maybe and just be like, hey, we're band number 11.
Yeah,
see
I mean, like,
do.
We could try it.
That's
Let's find
idea.
A manager.
Well,
who's around?
It's pretty easy to... The venue's starting to get pretty full here as the... well, Tits and Beer, actually, like, it looks like they set their shit up and they're kind of leaving the stage. Like, there's a quick conversation. It turns out they started setting their stuff up early by accident because the winner of last year's No Bobs is actually the opener. That's Jerk and Squirt. And so they're going to be, like, playing in front of Tits and Beer's set, you know, like actual opening bands might.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like they're trying to class it up this year. It's really hard to say. But Mathis is the one who's having this conversation. Gary Mathis is the person who organizes all of this. And his kid sister's band is on the lineup. So maybe he could get your band on the lineup at the last minute somehow.
Yeah.
Okay, real quick. We're walking up to Gary Mathis right now. We're like, okay, this is our big shot, but we got to have a name of our band real quick. Three words. First thing that comes to the top of your head, Specs.
Puzzle.
Okay, that's Trish. Puzzle, Specs. Next word.
Finding yourself.
Finding yourself. Puzzle, finding yourself, goblin. The goblin... what is it? Goblin playing a puzzle, finding himself. Goblin playing a...
Wait, is this our band name or is this our first song? Because I already have lyrics.
That's a first song. That's the first song.
There's a goblin
a puzzle
in my head,
himself.
And he's playing a puzzle, and he's trying to find
and he's
my
trying to
personality.
Find my personality. There's a goblin in my head, and he's playing a puzzle, and he's trying to find my personality.
And,
better name,
and
meanwhile, the name of the band
I got the drums doing 4:17 time, like.
But the name of our band is, I'm gonna say something someone else affected. Seattle Mariners.
The Seahawks. Let's be the Seahawks.
What
about the Ridgeville Seahawks?
Ridgeville Seahawks.
I'm thinking you said Seattle, and now I just cannot stop thinking about the Seahawks.
What about the Ridgehawks?
What about the Seahawks?
What about the Sea Ridge?
Ridgehawks.
Seahawk
Ridgehawks.
High. Seahawk Ridge.
Ridgehawks. It's great. It's like Hawk Wind.
Crawling.
Seahawks.
Crawling Hawks.
Ridgehawks. Hawk
what
Ridge.
About Hot Ridge?
Hot Ridge.
Hot Ridge.
That's the name of our band.
Hot Ridge. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, goblin, goblin playing a puzzle trying to find himself.
By Hot Ridge.
Hot Ridge is great.
And also, let's all change our name to Ridge, so we all are Hot Ridge.
Ooh, I'm gonna be the drummer.
Too far?
Though. I can't be part of the like hot part of the group.
I'm Ridge.
Mathis
Ridge
is finished
Listen,
with the conversation about
terror.
Getting Jerk and Squirt set up and is turning away from the stage like he's got other shit to do.
Mathis!
What the fuck do you want? What? Do I even know you?
Whoa!
Yeah.
We're just kids.
And I have
no,
shit
we're not
to
kids.
Do.
We're
what?
Band.
We're a band.
We're the
there
number
is
11
no
band.
Number 11. Jerk and Squirt are the closest thing to a number 11 band, and they're the ones who are playing the openers because they've won the fucking thing last year. There are 10 bands on the lineup. 50 well, other bands wanted to be in. Are you trying to tell me that you think you should be up on this stage tonight?
Yes. Well, you got yes.
No.
You got a whole setup right there, my man.
Yeah, it's funny. Fucking hilarious. Where are your instruments?
They're on stage. Where
here's my recorder.
Setup. You're gonna play
right
a recorder
here?
In a punk band. Okay, I've
you're
seen it before.
Yeah,
tits and beer play.
You're not gonna play tonight. No, you're absolutely not gonna play tonight.
Just let us play.
Why
one
would I let
song.
You play anything?
One song? One.
Let,
because
let,
we have permission from Squirt and Jerk to do it in one of their sets. They're
okay.
Like, they like us.
It's Jerk.
They like us.
Right. So, I need Naomi, you to roll to
yes.
To shoot the shit with this man to roll feel. However, you are
oh,
going
boy.
To be rolling it one die less than usual because you got the name of the band. Okay. That you're supposedly loves you wrong. So
enough.
You're only going to roll three dice on this.
All right, here we go. Three dice. Boom.
The best two.
You
yes.
pick two.
Eight.
Eight.
So I tell you what it will take to get this character to comply. And if you do it, he'll get you on. So Mathis
oh,
looks
boy.
At you and says, all right, so Jerk and Squirt, and he very pointedly says the name in the right order. They'll vouch for you, huh? All right, go and get Anthony from that band. They're fucking around by the kitchen somewhere, waiting to go on. Get Anthony out here and get Anthony to tell me to my face that they're gonna let you play a song as part of their set, and you can fucking do it. Go on.
Wait, can you tell
right.
us how many minutes they get in their
Mathis
set?
Mathis is turned away.
Okay. 2 minutes.
Rough.
1 minute. Whatever.
We
got
it.
This.
At
we
this
got
point,
okay.
At this point, what's even the end game, though? Like, we're not going to win the 10 grand playing as a part of the opener's act.
Yeah.
Really?
I don't think so. I mean, we would have to really kick ass for them to give the prize to the last year's winner.
I mean, like, what's more kick-ass than a band who has just come together for one night only tonight,
yeah.
never practiced together, doesn't even know what the song is going to sound like? What's more worthy of winning than that?
Two cool girls and a guy who knows how to play his instrument. That's been a winning, not necessarily in those numbers, but that has been a winning combination in many respects.
I know how to play my instrument. She toots on the recorder horribly.
Also a pretty winning combination. One girl who does know how to play, one girl who does not know how to play.
You know, it's cool. Passion.
You'll be the Meg White of the band.
Carries through.
Naomi.
Meg White's a pretty good drummer. I mean, take a look at Jack White's work outside of Meg White and tell me how good it is. Yeah, I know it's 2004, and he's only done stuff with the White Stripes, but if you look at the demos, he's never getting better with anyone but Meg White. Who's good?
Thank you very much.
I'm happy to be Meg White.
Okay.
Also, this is a side note. I do actually have a recorder mm-hmm. in this drawer, or this one, and I'm so tempted to grab it and just be like, doo, 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 but that would be very annoying because recorders sound really
you.
Annoying.
Can you do it?
In fact, I'm going to encourage you to go get the recorder.
I can. Hold on.
All right, so as Trish is tuning up over there, we're gonna, you know, like, we're approaching this guy in the kitchen.
Wait,
Anthony.
I'd like to say that instead of, like, the reason we've stopped and haven't quite approached Anthony just yet is because we're like, okay, we gotta finalize our song because we're gonna play like 10 seconds of it to this guy, and when his jaw falls off of his head, then we'll be able to take that to the. To the guy.
This is our song.
That sounds cool.
See, we're winners.
Do that again. Let me put some vocals over it. The name of the song is Goblin doing a puzzle finding himself. Okay, do it again.
I'll be on drums in the song, but I won't beatbox because I've always thought that was kind of a lame substitution for drumming.
I dig that. Okay.
Come on, Apollo, and find it himself! I don't know what I think about myself! I'm just a goblin who is doing a puzzle!
How's that?
I think that's gonna work.
Okay.
With your vocals, you didn't tell me you were such a good singer.
I mean, we're gonna win. We're gonna win.
Good taste and passion follows through.
How do you not win with that? How do you not win? Let's go find the guy.
No one's ever heard anything like us before.
Correct.
Right. So but I'm gonna assume none of us know what Anthony actually looks like. So I'm gonna roll my find. Okay. Skill.
Yeah, definitely. So it's gonna be there's not a specific move for this. But it's going to be the usual gradient of success versus problematic things. So
beautiful. I'm going to look for Anthony. And
yeah,
I got 12. A 12.
Okay. So the kitchen here has one of those, like, you're pretty sure that this VFW was a church at one point in time, because it's got like that fellowship hall, like slide up cafeteria window with like the formica counter kind of deal. And you like slide the rolling thing screen up to take a look in there, and you see that the band is back there. It's two guys and two girls, and that's why it's called Jerk and Squirt. And all four of them are wearing t-shirts. It looks like they paid to have like a small print run of shirts screen printed. There's like a small box of them off to the side also. They're black t-shirts with like this distressed white font and all caps that says Anthony. And they're all wearing the same shirt. And the t-shirts in the box are the same.
Okay, guys, I got good news and bad news. The good news is they're labeling everybody named Anthony in this room. Bad news is it seems like everybody's named Anthony in this room.
You have been in a number of shitty bars and shitty clubs, playing shitty shows, and getting into intense physical contact with people through the fights that have happened at the ends of your shows. And you can tell when someone is wearing a label authentically and when it's wearing them. And there is one person in this room. She is about 5'7", short, kind of definitely dyed blonde hair, dark skin, and that's Anthony. 100%, without a doubt, your shitty club sense singles her out as the actual Anthony of the four. This episode of One Shot uses music from the following artists: Wasteland's Cast by Balm, Burn It Down by Brendan McPherson, Are You Near by Affy Black, Gutterpunk by Andrew Stanton, and the cover of Man I Feel Like a Woman was provided courtesy of Todd Berriage. You can find more of his music at bit.ly/poppunktodd. This episode of One Shot was edited and sound designed by Tracy Barnett. You can find more of their work online anywhere at The Other Tracy. Heroes, I have had so much fun with this series. There is one more episode in it, and I cannot wait for you to hear what Gannon and Blair and Eleni and I cooked up in the finale. Also, just one more shout out to Todd Berriage for the use of his cover of Man, I Feel Like a Woman, done as a pop punk song. It's just delightful. bit.ly/poppunktodd will get you access to all of his YouTube videos. Go check his stuff out. Heroes, I know that we have a call to action at the end of most one-shot episodes, and last week I told you to call your senators and encourage them to support the voting rights legislation that was up for possibly debate to be passed. Well, it got completely torpedoed. So, this is my encouragement this week. This is going to seem a little weird, maybe it's going to seem a little out there to you, but contact your representatives and encourage them to expand the Supreme Court. In the previous administration, we saw so many instances of the Supreme Court getting packed with people who have conservative agendas, who want to overturn standing law, who are threatening access to abortion. It's really not a great situation, and the Supreme Court can be expanded. There can be more justices added. It's a strange thing to say. Let's get more people with the things that we want to support in the highest court in the land, but I think it's about the only way that we're going to be able to maintain the rule of law and to get people access to abortion and make sure everyone does have an equal right to vote. Things are trending in a bad way right now, and this seems like a really extreme thing. It seems like an out there idea, but this is my encouragement to you. I'm going to be calling my representatives this week, and I hope you do too. When I call, I use 5calls.org. It is a way that alleviates some of that anxiety, but every phone call is important, and I really, really, really encourage you to take some time and make the call. Also, if you enjoyed this show, you should check out some of the other shows on the One Shot Podcast Network. Shows like System Mastery. System Mastery is a delightful stroll through the history of role-playing games, except the games are terrible and the hosts are real jerks about everything. Join hosts Jeff and John as they explore the weirdest games ever made to talk about what worked, what went wrong, and which Silverhawk was the best. It was Hot Wing. Don't even at them. Find their shows at SystemMasteryPodcast.com. And now, we're going to kick it to James in the past so he can take us out of the show.
As always, a humble and hearty thanks to our supporters on Patreon. If you want to help us in a non-monetary way, the best thing you can do is tell a friend. You can also leave us a rating and review on iTunes. Every 5-star review we get helps new people find the show. For the latest One-Shot news, be sure to follow me on Twitter at OneShotRPG. Look us up on Facebook at facebook.com/OneShotPod, or look for news on the site at OneShotPodcast.com. If you want to inquire about ad rates, live appearances, commissioning episodes, or you have a general question or comment for the show, contact us at gamemaster@oneshotpodcast.com. One Shot is a production of the One Shot Podcast Network, in association with Paracosm Press. Paracosm Press is a Chicago-based tabletop games publisher. You can find more information at paracosmpress.com. Finally, that music, which is right now swelling up over my voice, is Adventure by Be Your Own Pet, courtesy of Infinity Cat Records. See you next time, heroes. In the universe of Starwall Odyssey, space is made out of the collective imaginations of all the thinking beings who live on various planets. These worlds are connected to each other through imagination. Common themes and ideas are strings between universes. And to get between them, people fly wooden ships that look like animals, which are powered by emotions. Also, people communicate with each other by contemplating orbs. The only way you can take pictures is getting stared at by a big psychic bug. And people have already declared victory in a war over the very concept of evil. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Starwall Odyssey follows the adventures of the hapless inhabitants of the Lucky Finn tenement building, who suddenly find that their apartment is actually a spaceship, and that they're lost in a sea of boundless imagination. It's an actual play starring me, James D'Amato, Mel D'Amato, Ali Grauer, and Drew Merzieski, as we playtest the No Kings system, which will hopefully one day be the Skyjack's role-playing system. It toes the line between weird and wonderful slice of life and high-flying space fantasy. You can sample the first 5 episodes by searching for Starwall Odyssey on your favorite podcast app, or get the whole thing by heading to patreon.com/oneshotpodcast and signing up for $5 a month or more.